Chapter 9. Yet will I trust in him. Job chapter 13 verse 15. In his quiet retreat in the Nilgiri hills, Brother Bhakt Singh could find no rest of spirit. He had gone there to seek renewal from the Lord for his India-wide ministries, yet found himself as perplexed about the future as we were. He already had fresh invitations to preach in various places. Now he waited on the Lord, seeking only his plan. But as he prayed, the heavens were as brass. All the time in his praying, Madras came before his eyes, and sorrowful faces, and the message I had carried to Central Station. Meanwhile in Madras, one thing after another was crowding upon us. We three were of one mind, and happily my brother's wife Mananmani, who was herself from Christian Peta and understood the meaning of separation from the world, was fully with him in the course we had taken. But for George Rajaratnam, it was different. He now faced a storm in his home. The pastor to whom he had written and who was a distant relative had visited George's wife, Pushpam. Finding her undecided, he had won her over to the view that George's action in resigning had been wrong. On discovering this and that she could in no way be reasoned with, George became quite distraught. He went out of the house and roamed the streets all evening like one out of his mind. Eventually, at dead of night, he arrived at my house and, finding us all in bed with the lights out, knelt down on the veranda and prayed himself to sleep. He woke up early next morning and, without our being aware that he had come, left again for home, to find that she too had not slept and was waiting up for him. They did not reopen the discussion, but he continued to pray. Lord, please explain to her what I cannot explain. A week passed during which God was speaking to Pushpam, and then suddenly she said to George, whatever the Lord has told you to do, do it. From that day onwards, she was wholly with him. I too was being tested. At the MSM office, I was passing through a period of great pressure. Many of the railway personnel were being recruited for military duty and my section was responsible for the payment of advances. This meant heavy additional work. And meanwhile, at our home at 65 Tana Street, we were expecting an addition to our family. Of our three children, Amala was a schoolgirl, but Ro and King were still quite small. A fourth child had died as an infant. My dear Navneetam was now expecting our fifth, and she was already in a weak state of health, just how seriously we did not yet appreciate. And all the while, the question of our responsibility to obey God thrust itself upon us. She and I were both agreed that the step must be taken. But I am not well, said Navani. Suppose I go to the Lord, where will you bury me? The angels will bury you, I replied, and she smiled. At last, on Friday the 16th, I completed my letter to the CMS pastor. Dear brother in Christ, I wrote on that day, I hereby tender my resignation from the Tucker's Church membership as a protest against the attitude of the church authorities in closing the church premises to a real servant of Jesus Christ, Brother Bhakt Singh. I know, brother, your hands are tied and you have no control over it. Hence my protest is not against you personally, but against those who have you in bondage. I am earnestly praying for the day when you will act in accordance with Isaiah chapter 52 verse 2. My resignation applies automatically to my membership of the church at Vyasarpadi as long as the church is affiliated to Tucker's church. Yours in the Lord's service, R.R. Rajamani. Vyasarpadi was of course the congregation of cotton mill workers which had come into being as a fruit of our labours together in the Gospel League. I planned to hold this letter until Monday the 19th and post it then. Meanwhile, my wife's condition began to cause concern. She was very anemic and during the following 2 days, three doctors came in turn and saw her. All agreed she would need treatment to forestall toxemia. We committed this to the Lord, seeking his guidance, and much against Navani's wishes, began to arrange for her admission to the maternity hospital. Right into the midst of this situation, a letter arrived from Brother Bhakt Singh. He asked me and Dorai Raj to join him in Kunur for a time of prayer and quiet waiting upon God. It was the one thing that, in other circumstances, we would have desired above all else. Clearly, just now it was impossible. Sunday morning dawned and I gathered my family in our home, just myself, Navneetam and the three children, to worship God together. We prayed and read the Bible and sang Tamil songs. For accompaniment, we had my violin and a little hand-blown harmonium which Navani played. And though weak, she sang as strongly as any of us. When it was over, we sat together and I wrote a letter in reply to Brother Bhakt Singh to be posted next morning. It was impossible, I explained, for either Dorai Raj or me to take a leave and come to Kunur, as all our available leave had been used up. The verse of scripture given by you, I wrote, had given me strength and consolation just at a time when the adversary is attacking me with all his might. And I went on to tell him of my wife's grave condition. I have been praying and I am still praying to the Lord to guide me in this matter. I have sent for a doctor and shall do as he advises me. I certainly shall bow to his will. In my letter, I quoted some lines that now had great meaning to me. Step after step, God marks our way. We follow his wise leading. Earth's shadows deepen. Night steps in, but we pass on unheeding. I enclosed a copy of my resignation letter to the pastor. I have no other alternative, I said. I look to the Lord to lead me further. I appeal to him and those with him in Kunur. You saints of the Most High, decide the next step and we are ready to follow. Yours in Christ, the Lord, R. R. Rajamani. That letter, too, was never posted. We went to bed and fell asleep. During the night, Navani's pain began. But she was a brave woman and did not want to wake me. At length, early in the morning of Monday, 19th May, 1941, she called me. Please fetch a doctor, she said. I could see that something was very wrong, so at about 9 a.m., I took her, still smiling, to Egmore Hospital. On arrival there, they wheeled her straight into the labor room. I waited outside in an agony, my heart lifted to God. Within not more than 15 minutes, they called me in. She is dying, they said. I knelt beside her praying, and at once saw the room full of angels and the cross of my Lord Jesus before me. I thought, this is a good sign. The Lord has come to help me. But as I turned to look at my dear Navani, she passed into the presence of her Lord. I took her body back to the house that so recently we had left together. The pastor and others arrived and were very kind. But then came the hard part. A large number of Christians began to assemble and to talk among themselves. This tragedy, they reasoned, was a revolt in my resigning from the organized church. My brother-in-law arrived and began lamenting over his sister's body. You trusted in God, he shouted. Where is your God now? Then the Lord said to me, now you testify. But I could not open my mouth. Presently I called Brother Victor to me and said, sing a song. Which song shall I sing? He asked. I replied, sing Siluvayai Nan Vidhen. I will not leave the cross. Then I joined in and sang louder than the others, for I was quite beside myself. As we finished, I gathered my three little ones into my arms and prayed. Lord, you have taken my wife, now take my three children too, and I will still believe what I have done is from thee. The resignation letter had not been posted, and they kindly came from Tucker's church and buried my wife. Then the devil came to tempt me and doubts crept in. Is what they say true, Lord? I began to ask, that you took my wife because I resigned? I could not sleep. I could not find peace. As the doubts grew, I became desperate. Finally, I said, Lord, I will touch no food until you answer this question. Tell me, is this indeed your goodwill that has befallen me, or is it a punishment? If I made a mistake, then I must go back and put it right with those I have wronged. What do you want me to do, Lord? All night I prayed. Early in the morning, my mother brought me coffee, which I refused. I told God, I want to know from thy word if this stroke is from thee. not a vision, not a voice, but thy word, Lord. An hour later, the gate opened and in walked the pastor from the Pentecostal church at Troyapuram, he who had baptized my wife in the sea. He found me lying stretched out on a table wrestling with God. Rajamani, he said apologetically, I am sorry to intrude on you like this. I know your grief is great, so I won't say much, but God has sent me all this way with a message I must deliver. Last night, he gave me this word especially for you. It is Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 16. Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Thank you, brother, I said, and he left immediately. I knew at once that it was God's answer to my cry. I rose and washed my face and took food. Navani's death was no punishment, but a part of God's design. The Lord Jesus would care for my little ones.